Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Man Who Said No, was written by Joseph Mindel and is presented in observance of Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement.
He was an honest man and a courageous man, and he was stubborn. I have thought of it for a long time, and this is what I believe. Of all his qualities, it was for his stubbornness that he was chosen to teach a difficult truth. In the days when the temple stood in Jerusalem, I was the captain of a ship that sailed out of the city of Joppa. A small ship, but fast and well built. One day, as we lay on dock, he came to me and said,
Captain, will you take me as a passenger on your ship?
Where do you want to go?
Where are you bound?
To Tarshish.
I'll go to Tarshish. Will you take me, Captain?
It's a long voyage.
Doesn't matter.
Why do you want to go to Tarshish?
I don't have to answer your questions.
No. You're running away, aren't you?
It's no concern of yours. I have money to pay the fare.
I see. Will you double the fare?
I'll pay double.
I've changed my mind. Your fare is three times the usual rate.
I'll pay. I'll pay anything you ask. When do you sail?
Keep your money.
We've made a bargain. You must take it.
No, you're too anxious and therefore dangerous.
Captain, if there is danger, it is for me alone.
I will not risk the lives of my crew and passengers. I have a responsibility to them.
And what about me?
You? You're a stranger.
Do you owe no responsibility to a stranger?
Don't teach me my duty. I've told you I will not take you.
I'll hide below the deck.
Do me a favor. Please, go away. What if the soldiers, the officers of the law, find you below deck?
There will be no officers of the law.
Then why are you running away? Don't tell me. Just go below deck. We'll go on.
Thank you, Captain.
What are you waiting for? Go below and pray for fair weather. It may be that the story has been written down, but I will tell it as it happened to me. The weather was fair and the sea was calm, and the oarsmen bent their backs to the oars. Only the sailor at the helm was uneasy.
Captain, it's going to storm.
Sky is clear, helmsman.
There's a storm cloud over the ship.
Steer the course and leave the navigation to me.
Aye, Captain. That cloud has been overhead all morning.
Huh? What are you trying to say?
It's following us.
It's child's talk. Go below if you're afraid. I'll take the helm.
I'll stay, Captain. The wind is getting stronger.
It's only a thunder shower. It will soon blow.
Captain, look behind you.
Behind the ship, the wind roared suddenly, and the sea rose up to meet the rain that poured from the sky. Mountains of water hung for the space of a lightning flash, then fell like thunder on the ship.
Your thunder shower will sink the ship. Captain!
Steer for the shore, Helm.
I'm trying, Captain. The ship won't turn.
The passengers, bring them all up here. Oarsmen, row faster. Faster.
How fast, Captain? Faster than the wind?
The oars swept through angry waters, and sometimes as the ship tossed in the sea, they flew through air heavy with wind and rain. But the tempest held with mighty fingers.
The passengers are here.
What do you want with him?
There was another deep in the hold. Where is he?
I'm here, Captain. You want me?
Only to know if you are safe.
He's safe. As safe as the rest of us.
Be still, helmsman. Now listen, all of you. As you value your lives, throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship.
It's no use, Captain.
The other ship, helmsman, and hold your tongue.
It's no use, I tell you. This is no natural storm.
Do as I tell you. Don't you understand? We'll sink if we don't lighten the ship.
It won't help. Nothing will help.
Don't listen to him.
The helmsman is right, Captain. It won't help.
Save your breath and get to work, passenger. What do you know of these things? I've sailed in many storms.
This is not like other storms. It was sent for me.
I didn't ask your name when I took you as a passenger.
My name is Jonah.
Who are you?
I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.
But who are you that... No. I'll ask no more questions.
Oarsmen! Row faster!
They can't row fast enough.
What else is there to do?
The storm was sent for me. Don't you see, Captain?
No. I won't do it.
You must.
I am no murderer.
You have a responsibility to the crew, to the passengers.
We'll reach the shore, I tell you.
Will you, Captain? Listen.
We listened. And we looked up at the raging sky. No one spoke. Then we took Jonah and cast him into the sea. And in that instant, the wind died, and the sun shone, and the sea was calm.
He's gone, Captain.
Swallowed up by the sea.
Look, a fish swimming. You see it? A great fish. Like a whale.
All right. You don't have to break the door in.
I'm looking for the house of a man named Jonah.
There it is. Third house.
Wait. Don't go in. I want to talk to you.
I'm not Jonah.
I know.
His house is over there.
But he's not in it.
He's not? Now, there's a mystery for you. You don't know which is Jonah's house, but you know he isn't in it. Maybe you even know where he is.
Yes, I know where he is. Were you his friend?
Well, we were neighbors, in a manner of speaking.
Tell me, why did he run away?
What makes you think he ran away?
Answer me.
There's no need to get excited. Now that you mention it, he did come out of his house in a great hurry. That was 3 days ago.
Why?
Don't ask me. You say you know where Jonah is? Well, ask him.
I could have asked him there at the dock.
Wait until he comes back.
He's not coming back.
Now, that's something that I know better than you.
No.
Yes, I do. There's a man coming toward us. You see him? That's Jonah.
I called out of my affliction unto the Lord, and he answered me. Out of the belly of the netherworld cried I. Thou heardest my voice. And I said, I am cast out from before thine eyes. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple.
I saw a man pursued by heaven and cast up by the sea. After 3 days, Jonah came back to his house with a psalm of thanksgiving on his lips. But about those 3 days, he would not talk.
I was away and I have returned. There is no more to be said.
But what happened? How did you escape?
What does it matter? I'm here.
You're a strange man, Jonah. Yes, you're here by a miracle.
What do you know about miracles?
Jonah, I was in the storm with you. It was a miracle.
You were there, but you know nothing. The miracle was something else.
I myself threw you into the sea. I won't speak for you, Jonah. If it's not a miracle that you're alive, it is a miracle that I'm not a murderer.
I told you not to talk like that. They must be waiting for you at the dock, Captain.
They probably are.
Well, then,
I'm not going back to my ship.
I don't understand your concern.
Maybe it's because I took you as a passenger.
You've discharged your responsibility.
You said I understand nothing. Jonah, I want to understand the miracle.
How can you when... And listen. The night before I first saw you in the dock, I couldn't sleep. Maybe because it was hot. Maybe I expected what was about to happen.
Jonah told me how he lay sleepless and heard a voice speak within him, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." He listened, and then he said aloud in the empty house,
"No, I will not do it."
There was no answer, and Jonah put on his cloak and went to the city of Joppa, where the ships lay in dock.
The rest you know, Captain. Now I have paid my debt to you.
Jonah, why did you refuse to go to Nineveh?
Why? Because the city is evil. Its people are evil. The enemies of all that is good. They are sworn to take Jerusalem and destroy the temple.
Then it should have given you pleasure to prophesy the city's doom.
Don't you understand? I want to live my own life in my own way.
Still, to be chosen for such a task.
I don't want to be a prophet who involved my life with the lives of people who will hate me for what I will say. Besides, I went before the people of Nineveh and spoke. Who would have the chance to repent.
Then surely you would be pleased.
Go back to your ship, Captain. What do you know of these matters?
If they repent, they will be saved. And you will be the instrument of their salvation.
Exactly.
I don't understand. You're not pleased.
Then listen, I'll explain it to you. If Nineveh is to be saved, let it be saved. I want nothing to do with it.
And therefore you ran away.
That's done with. I don't want to talk about it.
You're a stubborn man.
Your ship is waiting, Captain.
Jonah, tell me something. Suppose the voice commands you again. What then, Jonah?
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, quietly and without reproach, saying, "Arise. Go unto Nineveh, that great city, and make unto it the proclamation that I bid thee." And this time Jonah rose and took himself to Nineveh, and I went with him to the great city.
Bread! Fresh bread! Good, fresh, baked bread!
Now, wait a minute, Jonah. I want to buy some bread.
There's no time for that, Captain. I have a duty to perform.
Of course, but you have to eat. A baker, here. I'll have some of your bread. I wanted 2 pieces, Baker.
With pleasure. But you'll have to pay for 2 pieces.
But I did. I put the 2 coins on your counter.
You paid for 1 piece of bread. I gave you 1 piece of bread.
You're playing a joke on a stranger.
I have no time for joking. If you finish buying, be on your way.
No, I want what I paid for.
You paid for 1 piece of bread, stranger. I was watching. I saw the whole thing.
How could you? I put the money on the baker's counter.
Now you're calling me a liar and the baker a thief.
I only want what's due me.
And you'll get it if you're not more civil. Go away before I call the officer of the law.
Call him. Call the officer.
Who wants me?
Officer, the baker here.
I know the baker. I know him very well. Who are you?
I paid for bread.
You're a stranger, aren't you? We don't like strangers who come to the city and make disturbances.
But I only...
Will you move along now, or do you want me to take you before the court? The special court for strangers.
Have you had enough, Captain?
Jonah, these men have no concern for honesty and justice.
Did you have to come so far to learn that Nineveh is evil?
People of Nineveh, listen. Your city is evil. You do evil. Yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown.
They won't even hear you, Jonah.
They will hear me.
People of Nineveh!
Stranger, make a lot of noise. Be still or get out of here.
Let him talk. Shall it be said that Nineveh was discourteous to strangers? We can listen and then throw him out.
Jonah, they won't like what you will tell them.
Wait for me outside the city if you're afraid.
No, only try to be tactful.
Speak up, stranger. What is this message you bring?
people of Nineveh. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Well, continue, stranger.
I've finished.
What? No horrible descriptions of the disaster? No threats, no promises?
I have said what I came to say.
Stranger, we have a dozen more impressive prophets of doom.
Baker, maybe you should heed their words.
They at least tell us why we are to be destroyed.
Don't you know, Baker?
Well, I...
Ask your dishonest tradesmen, or your judges who take bribes, or your rich men who let the poor go hungry. Ask them to tell you why Nineveh must be destroyed.
Your style is rather unusual. Our local prophets could learn much from you.
Oh, no, you don't have to listen to his ridicule. Come.
No, wait. There's something you haven't told us yet. How we may escape our terrible fate.
You know that too, Baker. Each of you knows it for himself.
Well, tell us. Mind you, I'm not saying I believe your prophecy, but tell us, what do you want us to do?
I don't want you to do anything. But he who sent me, he wants you to abandon your evil ways and return unto him.
You're a strange prophet. And yet I can almost believe you.
Believe, or your blood will be on your own hands.
No. It's a trick. But you won't catch us with such tricks. You've said what you've come to say. Now get out. We don't want you here.
Stranger, wait.
What do you want?
You'll be back, won't you?
Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
I'll stop your croaking. He's your friend, isn't he? Make him stop.
My friend Jonah is a stubborn man, Baker.
I'm tired of hearing his prophecy. Besides, he's spoiling my business.
I'm sure that was not his intention.
Well, maybe not, but half my customers are contemplating their sins and fasting.
Jonah, did you hear that? But maybe they're only frightened.
Of course they're frightened.
Maybe they're only putting on a show of repentance.
In Nineveh, this Jonah of yours may count even that an accomplishment.
Those are strange words from you, Baker.
I've seen strange things. Yesterday, I saw a judge refuse a bribe. Go on, laugh.
Doesn't make me feel at all like laughing.
If you'd come a little earlier, you would have seen something even stranger. You would have seen me giving bread to a poor beggar. Not yesterday's stale bread, but a fresh loaf.
Baker, not you, the man who...
Yes, I. The man who cheated you of a loaf of bread. Well, you see, the beggar was hungry.
I, king of Nineveh, have put aside my robe and covered me with sackcloth, and I sit in ashes, and I proclaim to all my people, let neither man nor beast taste anything, but let them be covered with sackcloth, and let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands.
I heard their words and I saw their deeds. Of men and women, of living, changing beings, you cannot say for certain that they are forever turned from evil. But I say this as a fact of the people of Nineveh. Their repentance was more than sackcloth and fasting. And Jonah also saw, and he knew. But as he went out of Nineveh, his stubbornness returned. He sat on the ground to the east of the city, and turning his eyes to the heavens, he said,
"You see, it happened as I said it would."
"Are you very angry, Jonah?"
"This was why I was fleeing to Tarshish. But you wouldn't let me."
"Aye, don't you remember? I was willing to take you."
"You sent the storm to bring me back."
"You are angry, Jonah."
"Who am I to be angry?"
"You have no reason to be. Nineveh has repented of its evil ways.
Now the city will be saved."
"Is that a bad thing?"
"I did not pray that Nineveh should be destroyed. Neither would I lift a finger to save it. What are her people to me?"
"Men like you."
"They are my enemies and the enemies of my people."
"Jonah, you forget they have repented."
"Now they will be able to strike my people the harder, Captain."
"You're a difficult man to reason."
"I didn't ask you to follow me to Nineveh."
"Jonah, it wasn't you."
"What are you talking about?"
"It wasn't you I was following, but the things that were happening to you, around you, because of you."
"Now it's finished. Leave me alone. Go back to the ship you deserted."
"I think not everything has happened yet.
I told you once before, you know nothing about these matters.
It's true that I'm not a prophet, but Jonah, even I may ask, who are you to grudge a man or a city of men forgiveness?
The sun rose higher in the sky, beating on our heads, so that we went to sit in the shade of a small tree. We waited, and I could not have said for what I was waiting. For a long time, Jonah was silent, and peace seemed to flow into him. Then he spoke.
Look at the tree. How green and shiny its leaves. How sturdy its twigs.
It seems like an ordinary tree to
me. It asks only rain and sun, and it lives.
That's the nature of trees. Jonah, why are you waiting here? Why don't you go home?
Demands nothing. Even providing shade for such as we.
Jonah, I don't understand you.
That's what I've said all along.
It's a fine tree, and I'm grateful that it keeps the sun away, but after all...
After all?
It's only a tree.
You don't see it as a marvel of God's creation, of his infinite wisdom and goodness.
God has shown you other marvels.
Stick to your plain sailor's talk, Captain. Read me no parables.
Jonah, when I left my ship to look for the place where you lived, I did not think that I would find you. And when I found you, I did not think that we would quarrel.
I have no quarrel with you. What happened was not your doing, nor even your concern, for I was a stranger.
Do I owe no responsibility to a stranger?
It's quiet, peaceful here, under the tree.
And Jonah turned from me and was silent again. In silence, we waited, and I knew there would not be long to wait. Then my eye fell on a worm on the trunk of the tree. I looked again and saw that the tree was alive and crawling with worms, so that the trunk was a hollow shell. As I looked, the leaves withered. A vehement wind came out of the east, and its breath blew down the hollow tree. The sun and the hot wind beat on our heads, and from the bitterness of his heart, Jonah cried out,
"Even the tree that shelters me is taken."
I spoke to him, and he answered, but I knew that he was not talking to me.
"It is better for me to die than to live."
"Are you very angry, Jonah?"
"I am angry."
"Because of the tree and the shade again?"
"Because the tree was green and alive, and now it is withered and fallen. The sun and wind are hot, and I am weary and angry unto death."
The east wind died, and the air was still. And out of the stillness, Jonah heard the answer, and I too knew it. The Lord spoke, saying, "You have had pity for the tree for which you did not labor, nor make it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. In Nineveh are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Should not I have pity on Nineveh?"
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Seymour Cohen of Congregation B'nai Israel of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Rabbi Cohen.
During the day-long prayer vigil of the synagogue on Yom Kippur, the reading of the book of Jonah forms an integral part of the worship service. Eternal moral gems are to be found in its lines, placed skillfully in the setting of the parable of the man who tried to run away from God, only to learn the answer to the psalmist's inquiry, "Whither can I go from thy spirit, and whither can I flee from thy presence?" In life, once charged by God with the responsibility of a mission, we can but carry it out. From this work, which is unequaled in the entirety of the Holy Writ for its compassion, its breath of sympathy and love of mankind, we learn that men and nations are not caught in an inexorable and fatalistic web of circumstance. We are not enslaved to the course of events and doomed to a blind submission to an unchangeable destiny. Our Father in heaven taught Jonah of his all-embracing love for all of mankind, for he seeks not the destruction of the sinner, but that he return and live. He desires not the death of the wicked, but the return of the wicked from their ways. Nineveh was saved, Israel's sages explained, because they chose not only sackcloth and ashes to make manifest their remorse, but heeded the full doctrine of repentance. Depart from evil and do good. The true fast of Nineveh was exemplified by the baker's abandoning his evil ways and dealing his loaf to the hungry. May the eternal message of Jonah enhearten us in our prayers on Yom Kippur that the Ninevehs of the 20th century heed the call to return from their iniquities and learn to do good. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Cohen. Our eternal light drama today, The Man Who Said No, was written by Joseph Mindell and presented in observance of Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Caton. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as Jonah and Peter Capel as the captain. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Due to the observance of the Jewish festival of Sukkot, The Eternal Light will not be broadcast next Sunday.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.